Everybody, well, this is a fantastic day to be alive because the Holy Spirit is moving right around the world. And I would like to talk about how you and I can actually be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just once every now and then, but on a continual basis. John 7 verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, this is for anyone, anyone at all who wants the Holy Spirit in their life. You don't have to be called by God to be a preacher or to be a minister or anything special. Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So in our churches, we have altar calls. We have prayer meetings. We have worship times. That's us saying, let them come. And when we have an opportunity to come into the presence of God, we should take advantage of it. Not just sit back and look at what's going on. If we've had a bad day and we've had a bad week, it can discourage our hearts and we can think, oh, well, I'm just going to. But actually, if we could take a step in, say to us, so why are you cast down inside of me? Come on, rise up, praise the Lord. Don't be shy, cry out to God. And as you get thirsty, that thirst is expressed in actually reaching out in our times of worship and entering in. You know, in the morning, I'm not sure if you took a shower this morning. It's probably a good idea each day, but, you know, whatever. You stand there and you watch the water come down and the cold water, you want it to flush out of the system before you step in. Bruce Williams, our pastor down in Adelaide, he shared this with us, and I thought it was such a good illustration. And when you're standing there looking at the shower, you know, you could talk about that shower. You could pray about the shower. If you really got enthusiastic, you could write a book about the shower. But actually, what you're meant to do with that shower, eventually, once that warm water's coming down, you step into it. And it does its work. It washes you. It refreshes you. And you're feeling the warmth of the water over your body. It's like one of the best feelings on earth. I remember in India, I was doing a traveling preaching thing there way back in the 70s. When dinosaurs roamed the earth, people. It was a long time ago. And all week long, all I'd had was bucket showers and the cold water. And you get so, I was getting so grimy and dirty from all the dust and everything else. And finally, I arrived at the mission, where the missionaries were. And they had a hot shower. Honestly, I was weeping when that hot water hit my head. And the feeling of just being drenched and being able to get clean and washed in this shower, it was amazing. And that is similar to what you and I can actually enter into when the Holy Spirit is pouring down on us. And the word pour is literal. Like water, it pours. It's a river. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now the translation, out of your belly will flow, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. So when he was resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God and glorified, then the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost and has been present on earth ever since for you and I. And God has given us everything that we need in the Holy Ghost. Very often in Christian history, the church has opted for substitutes for the Holy Spirit, thinking that this program in the church that's going to reach the world, or or this piece of machinery, or if we only had two more lights in the auditorium and one more projector and one more camera, or if we only had this and that, what we need is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if we've got one guitar player on the stage, singing a guitar, singing and worshiping, leading. Doesn't matter if we've only got a small congregation. If we hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit, once that river starts to flow, people are attracted. Everybody loves water. Everybody loves going to the beach. Everybody loves going to a river or a lake. There's something about that refreshing presence of the Holy Spirit that people are deeply attracted to. And you and I, it's every one of us in the congregation, not just the preacher who is to bring the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us are called by God to bring that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit into our homes, into our own lives, into our entire congregational gatherings. And we can do that simply by being a hungry and thirsty people, and the Holy Spirit falls upon us. When that happens, we become empowered with gifts and with the fruit of the Spirit. And there are nine fruits and nine gifts of the Spirit. If you said there were nine bones in each wing, then that's what they are for a very balanced believer's life. We have the gifts of the Spirit, but we also have the love of God. We have the fruit of joy. We have peace, gentleness, and the Holy Spirit filling our lives will grow those fruits, and we will begin to develop those gifts of the Holy Spirit. We become empowered to be life transformers to the people around us in this world. This river is most often discovered in our gatherings, in church. Psalm 46 verse 4 says, "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." So here is David talking about a river, but he's talking about it being in the house of God. So it's obviously a spiritual river. And rivers are the central point where towns are built around them. Cities grow up around a river. Water is essential to the life of any group who are planning on settling there. And settlers, they would always find a river or a lake that they could draw water from. Or they'd dig a well. And to make sure that we've got these wells in our lives is super important. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 26, you read the story of Isaac rediscovering the wells that his father had dug. And it says he redug them, the wells that Abraham, his father, had dug. And for all of us, there are wells of the Holy Spirit, the fountain of God, that have gotten blocked up. And I'd love to think that today we get unblocked if we've gotten blocked up. The Philistines, they had blocked up Abraham's wells. After he died, they blocked them up. And they would block them up with stones. Lots of hard attitudes will block up our well. With dirt, the world, too much of the world just suffocates that life of the Holy Spirit. Or dead animals. They'd throw just dead animals which would poison the well. So they would just block up these wells with these nefarious methods, and there were no longer any use. The wells in the church are where the fountain of the Holy Spirit comes up. And if we have let rocks block up our well, or if we've gotten associated with people who really aren't helping our spiritual progress, they aren't really enriching our life in Christ, they're dragging us away, that'll block up our well. Or if we just got an overstimulation of the world happening in our life and not much room for God at all, not praying or reading the Bible, but we've just gotten blocked up with too much world. Let's unblock today. Let's let that fountain spring up within us and joy returns to our soul. The fruit of the Holy Spirit starts to grow in our life again. And that's where our power is. What's the first step in this? Psalm 42 verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When we come into the presence of God, I find I kind of don't get satisfied. I get more appetite. I get thirstier. I want you, Lord. I want your presence. And if he touches you, don't just say, oh, that was a nice touch. Step into it. Step into the shower. And let his presence wash over you. In Psalm 63, verse 1, David says, my soul thirsts for you. He's talking about a soul thirst, an ache on the inside. I really, really want to get near to God again. And sometimes when our soul is thirsty, we fill it up with other things. Some of the dietitians that I've read, they say that when we're thirsty, we sometimes eat stuff or we eat sweet candy, we misinterpret what we're hungry for, what we are actually thirsty for. And that's easy to do when we're actually dehydrated, Holy Ghost dehydrated, and we need moisture, and we need the life and the irrigation of the Holy Spirit in us, not just something sweet from the world, not some quick thrill. And when we thirst for him from our soul, we're going to find ourselves satisfied. Psalm 143 verse 6 says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. So that is part of thirsting for God, lifting our hands. I think we underestimate the power of lifting our hands. Paul tells us to do it in the New Testament, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. We pray for every man, all men everywhere. All through the Psalms, say, lift up your hands, you people. There is something of release. And I know often we hear it's a sign of surrender, but it's also a sign of us opening up our soul and our spirit to the Lord. So when we have the opportunity in our worship times, why don't we lift our hands, reach out to God, even in our homes, lift up your hands over the people. When Moses lifted up his hands, he made sure that the victory was going to be theirs in the valley below when Joshua was fighting the Amalekites. And even if he got weary, his brothers helped him hold his hands up. And we can help each other by just saying, let's all lift our hands and hold our hands up and be encouraged. Because we may be in a battle in the valley below, but when we lift our hands up over that battle, we invoke the power of the Holy Spirit into our circumstances. We bring grace and peace and victory and triumph into everything we put our hands to. In Revelation 22 verse 1, it talks about a pure river of the water of life flowing clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Now there are various rivers in the Bible. I've found like five of them. There's the river that flows out of Eden, the Garden of Eden, which to me is the place of communion, relationship with God. And a river will flow out of that communion. There's a river flowing out of the rock in the wilderness. Moses smote the rock and a river of life flowed out. Well, Jesus was smitten. He was the rock smitten on the cross, and a river of life has flowed into every one of us from that crucifixion. There is a river of life, like we read before, flowing through the church, flowing through the city of God. There's a river flowing from Ezekiel's temple, and that's a place of worship. And there is a river flowing from the belly of believers, like we read before. A river comes out of every one of us. We may not feel it, but when we speak the word of God and we pray for people, that river of healing life can come into those people that we're ministering to. But finally, this river that I've just talked about, Revelation 22, this is a pure, inexhaustible river of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. And it says, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Life begets life. The river of life beget the tree of life. They were trees that gave life because they're by the river of life. You and I, as people of God, planted on the river, on the riverside, on the riverbanks, by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Psalm 1:3 says that those who are planted by that river of the Word of God, who meditate in it day and night, they bring life. They bear fruit all the time. And the same with these trees. It said they bore, the tree of life bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the point is that as the Holy Spirit flows through us and flows through our churches, people who get planted in the riverbank of the church, they start to bear fruit, not just once a year or once a season, all the time, every month. They're finding that the Holy Spirit in them is causing them to be effective at being fruit bearers for the kingdom of God. So let's all of us become people who are filled with this mighty river, the mighty river of God that flows from the throne. And then the final word on this, it says the leaves of those trees were for the healing of the nations. You and I will find that the river of life brings into these trees, into you and I, the trees of righteousness, healing life for everybody around us. So when we go to pray for people, and I'd encourage you, anytime somebody shares a problem with you, or there's a sickness in the family, or they're facing a difficult situation, say, can I pray for you? I have never found anybody refuse prayer. Just pray for them. You can gently lay your hands on their shoulder, and the power of that river will flow into their lives. Let's thirst for the Holy Ghost, see a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God, and become healers of nations in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.